Welcome everybody to our today's online session in this Metta retreat. And as is usual, when Sayadaw Oyindaka is not here, we start with about 10 minutes of sharing. So whatever we have experienced in the last 24 hours or so, some experience, something you have noticed, so please feel free to share it with all of us. And we have heard, you know, the feedback that this is actually very encouraging to others and very helpful to the practice. So,
hi, it's Vicky.
Yes, please.
I had this experience this morning. I got up very early and went and did some washing, and in the washing, as well as some small stuff, there was some two big sheets, and I hung them out first, and then I went back and I looked in and saw this washing, and I said to myself, oh, how wonderful all this washing's done. And I then sort of realized what I was doing and got the giggles. And then I realized another thing is that one of the reasons that I was pleased with, not only because the washing was clean, but because I don't like hanging out washing.
Thank you, Vicky. Who else feels inclined to share something? Don't be shy.
Hello. Good morning. For people who is in the morning, and good evening for who has the evening coming. I would like to share that this morning I had to go out, and usually these last 3 years I have been kind of seclusion, and usually when I go out I notice my mind say, you'll be okay. But the mind is counting the hour. Okay, in three hours I'll be back. Has this looking into the future, that the release could be only in whatever hours. But this morning, this phrase of Isam says, I'm here and you're okay. And each moment was a very different experience that really revealed, is kind of unleashed so many insights that came after that, just for this sense of being kind to myself moment by moment. The power of metta, how keep your bring is right here, right here, right here. So it was a lovely experience. It can sound very simple and nothing exciting, but the beauty of it was a revelation, in the sense of it's a door of understanding so many other moments of my life, of having that old pattern that wasn't seen with the clarity that the kindness could bring. The light of kindness really shine very deeply on this old pattern. So I'm just deeply grateful for that. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, Beth, for the sharing.
I would also like to share.
Please go on.
So yesterday I took a day off from practicing intensely. So I went out to nature for hiking and snowboarding. And I realized that when I was snowboarding, I just started to do, may I be well, happy and peaceful, because I was a bit tense that I'm going to fall and it went really fast. And then I just started to be super fast and relaxed and it was just so much more fun. So I was really kind of, yeah, just doing it in between. And I think it's so beautiful. It just makes things so much easier. And just giving myself love for everything I was doing and just saying, oh, it's okay, just be gentle. And I'm so grateful for this practice. Even if we don't do it, like, you know, you just say, okay, today I'm taking off. But still, it's working and it's there. And it's just so beautiful to have it applied in practice. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle, for the sharing.
I'm Martin, and I want to say that I'm very happy that Ekaterina is no more sick. So I saw before she's sick, and so I am happy she's no more sick.
Merci, Martin. Sky, please.
We seem to talk quite a bit about dogs at the moment, and I had a very, very old dog who's been a companion of mine for many years now, who died last Saturday. And so this has been a sweet time just to process that fact that she's no longer here. But what's interesting is that instead of her being here, what's happening is that the ants are coming into my house, and I usually have a lot of panic around ants coming in. And the last few days I've noticed that they're starting to become seen more like pets for me. And so because it's extremely hot here at the moment, I realize they're coming in to get water. And so I put water out for them, but unfortunately some of them drowned in the water, so it's a delicate balance I'm learning. But it's quite lovely to start developing a new relationship with these little tiny miniature beings that I used to find quite stressful to have around. So it's quite lovely.
Sky,
thank
could
you,
Sky. I say something? Sky, we put some stones on the container that they can walk on the stones. Then they can drink and go back out of the container. Just a sharing of my experience.
Thank you. Okay, so then thank you so much for the sharing. And now I hand over to Aya Viranyani to continue.
Thank you, Aria. And thank you everybody for your sharing. It's so touching to hear the simple but really profound ways in which metta weaves itself into our life. I was really touched, actually, Sky, by your sharing about ants and about beloved beings passing on. I also have a difficult relationship with ants, especially here in Burma. I actually just had an experience with them last week, and they invaded my cupboard and were eating the back of it. And it was quite shocking how many of them came in and how quickly they destroyed some books and eek. But mostly I see them in the same way you see them. They're coming into my sink. They're looking for water. And it would be so easy just to take my glasses off and run the water, but I can't. Because I know they might be there and I might not see them. So I put my glasses on and I kind of tap the sink to make them run away. And sometimes feel annoyed about that. You know, we can so easily go to these habits of annoyance or panic or distress around other beings in our lives. Especially if we don't have any visceral sense of their lives, of what goes on for them. I have no idea what it's like to be an ant. So that empathetic bridge is a little harder. This is what the metta practice develops. Slowly, day by day, moment by moment, as we repeat the phrase, as we incline the heart. And we've described, both of us, as well as Saito, actually, described the power of habit and the importance of inclination. And how training the mind can change these habits. So that we change our baseline, if you like, our default setting in computer language. You know, what happens when we turn on in the morning? That changes with the practice. And that changes from a default setting of irritation, annoyance, clinging, to one of kindness, simple kindness, peacefulness, contentment, acceptance. Saito spoke yesterday about the shade of metta and how we can become a great big shady tree. And I so love that metaphor. And that's something that each of us can do, beginning with ourselves. And just like trees do not grow instantaneously, but year by year, so does our practice. And this practice, which develops the habit of seeing the good, as Saito said, and noticing in all beings what is good, and inclining to that, and then naturally responding from that place. Habits develop of not dwelling in what is difficult or unpleasant. And I wanted to speak a little bit to this because Saito opened that door yesterday to talking about this. Metta sees the good and doesn't dwell on faults. Now, it can be easy to misunderstand that statement. It does not mean we only see good and disregard everything else. It means we dwell in noticing the good, inclining to that. We don't dwell on thoughts. But we We do see them. It's not that we go around deluded about other people in a naive way. We see faults, we just don't dwell on them. We don't ruminate about our own faults or the faults of others. We incline over and over when we notice faults to acknowledge that wisely as adults, but not making, as we say in English, a mountain out of a molehill, not making those faults the entirety of our universe. If you are a dosa type, somebody whose personality tends to seeing what you don't like, noticing that, this can be revolutionary. Because, and it's actually, I'm going to back up here, because it's been described and fairly well established scientifically that our evolutionary roots, our behavioral roots that come from our evolutionary past, hardwire us to pay more attention to negativity than positivity. If we had not done that as human beings, we wouldn't be here. Our ancestors would have been eaten by lions or something. So noticing danger is important, or was important. We live in a much safer world now, but we're primed. Our nervous system is primed to notice what is difficult, what is negative, and then go there over and over and over and over again. And if our personality is particularly and habitually dwelling in this place, not everybody's is, but a lot of us are what is called dosa types. We see the negative and we can't unhook from that. Metta bhavana is such a relief. Because we begin to see what is not negative and inclined to that. And it gives us a very different place, a very different stance in the world. It's not that we stop seeing what is difficult, but we don't ruminate about it. We don't obsess about it. We let it be there. We radiate metta, and it gives us a more balanced place from which to speak and act and be in the world. It also, paradoxically, gives those people who tend to seeing what they want, what they like, a more balanced place. Because this action of greed is the flip side of the coin of dosa. So we see what we want, and we know what we don't want, and we just go there. So metta also balances that state that is habitually dwelling in greed, in liking, in needing things to be a certain way. So we see the good. We incline in that direction. We notice what is difficult, but we don't dwell on that. We don't hang on to that. We don't cling to that with this state of metta. So when we live in this way, with kindness and wisdom, we can act and speak and be with so much more balance and ease. We tend to hang on to our personalities. You know, it's just what we do as human beings. We have stories we tell about ourselves. And one story, for example, I tell about myself is, I'm a really strong dosa type. I'm not sure about that story anymore, to be honest. I still tell it to myself. But metta has opened a beautiful door, at least in my psyche, to noticing the beautiful in other people, to appreciating so much that I was blind to before, because I was so busy being irritated about other people and how they weren't perfect, how I wasn't perfect, how the world wasn't perfect. There was no perfection anywhere, and it irritated me no end. And how, you know, that person, they shouldn't be doing that, and how come Saito is allowing them to do that? You know, in a monastery, there's no shortage of small irritations. And being here at Chende Miang, I can honestly say it has been a metta practice. Because unlike Upandita, who ordained me, Chende Miang Saito U Indika is really very good at allowing other people to be themselves. He doesn't push back against that or try to control it. Upandita had very high standards, and, you know, the monastery was perfect. But, oh my goodness, you know, it was a very different universe. He had metta. He was not without metta, but still. And being around Sayada U Indika has been really, really different. It was a very hard transition for me. I'm sure I really thank Aria for her patience when I first came here. I don't know how many years it took me to stop saying, well, I probably still say it, but it's less of an issue now. It's like complaining about somebody and then complaining about how Saida wasn't doing anything to stop them from doing what they were doing. And how can they do that? How can this happen here? But metta gives us new habits. So I notice that thought arising sometimes. Often around here, it's about trash. And it's like, how can people do that? Okay, may they be at ease anyway. May I be at ease with this anyway? You know, I really notice that it's not hooking in the same way as it used to. And the way people are is not hooking in the way that it used to. I still notice things that bother me. I still sometimes complain about them, but it's less intense as an experience. And there's not so much demand in that. I'll tell a quick story to illustrate the freeing nature of this. And it, I think, Aria won't mind that I tell this story because she's part of it. Our friend Mimi and I are both very strong dosa types. That's our basic habit. And It can be if something is bothering both of us, or could be. And this used to happen a lot more than it does now, but we used to just get together and complain about somebody or something that was happening in the monastery. And within about 5 minutes, we'd both be ready to leave, find some other place to be. This place sucks. How can I? Really? And so one day we were engaged in this rather unwholesome activity and bonded over it quite. We were talking about somebody and how they were misbehaving and how it was wrong and how could this be? And it probably was nothing very important, but you know, dosa, irritation makes mountains out of molehills. So we were complaining to each other about this and really getting quite into it. Aria walks into the room and Mimi says something to her about this whole situation. And Aria just says, I don't want to talk about that right now. And she just walked through the room. And there was not dosa in her voice. It was just, no, I don't want to talk about that. Boom. It stopped us both in our tracks. It's like we just looked at each other and went, oh, yeah, okay. What are we feeding? It all comes down to that. What are we feeding? We don't even have to know why we're feeding it, but what are we feeding in our mind? What habits are we feeding? Whatever we frequently think and ponder upon, that will become the inclination of our mind. So what are we thinking about a lot? Where are we going over and over and over again? I'm sure you all know that famous Native American Indian story about the black wolf and the white wolf. The grandfather who says, oh, I have these living inside of me, and the child saying, well, who wins? And the grandfather saying, the one I feed. It's exactly it. The mind states that win are the ones we feed. And the ones we just allow to be there without giving extra energy, those are the ones that just dwindle and become ghosts. So yes, there is still dosa in this mind, but it's a ghost of what it used to be. And I am sure when I keep practicing, it will become more and more and more of a ghost, because, oh, my practice is long from finished. My path is long from finished. So I look forward to that process. And I cannot express in words how powerful that is. And I think, but some of you have spoken beautifully this week of noticing that process. It's so powerful. It's so beautiful. When those old habits begin to lose their power, it's not that they're not there, but something else takes over. Metta takes over, because that's what we're feeding. I love how psychoneurobiology is now describing how the mind is endlessly malleable, changeable. How we can learn things no matter how old we are. So no matter how old these habits, it is possible to change them. The Buddha said so beautifully, if it were not possible, I would not ask you to do it, but it is possible. To cultivate the wholesome, to refrain from the unwholesome, to feed metta, and to let these old habits just sit, just to be included in that field of metta, but not picked up. It's so much easier to be in this world with metta. It's so much easier to just notice the arising of dosa, but not needing to obsess about that or ruminate about it or fix it. There's this beautiful, complete acceptance of the world and ourselves. That's the shade that Sayadaw was talking about. That's the peace that he was talking about. So, may we all dwell in the shade of metta. More and more and more, and may these metta trees grow bigger and bigger and bigger. There's quite a lovely forest here, I must say. And to that end, I want to go to the practice now. And today we change the category from the dear friend to probably my favorite category of all of them, the neither loved nor hated person. We often use the neutral person as a shorthand for this category, but that's quite misleading because pure neutrality is rare in relationship. And it often comes with not knowing somebody. But as soon as we get to know people, we either incline towards them or away from them. So if we use the word neutral here, it's easy to think, oh, something's going wrong here. Because often when we choose a person we don't know, we begin to radiate metta for them. There begins to feel like a friendly relationship with this person. And we think, oh, I'm doing it wrong. They're not neutral anymore. Well, no, we're doing it exactly right. That's what metta does. So don't worry about neutrality. Just choosing somebody who you don't have a strong reaction towards. It might be somebody here you don't know. And what's lovely here is our names are there. So even if you don't know somebody and feel eh about them, their name will be there and you can use that name in the practice. Their image is there. You can use that in the practice. I tend to think of this category not as neutrality, but as eh. You know, whatever. We just don't care about this person. We don't notice this person. We're not drawn to them or pushed away from them. It's just that, you know, it's like, well, whatever. And the reason I like this category so very much is because there are over 8 billion people on this planet, and we may care or not care about a handful of those people, but most of the people in this world, let alone the non-human beings, are in this category. We don't know them. We don't see them. We go through life not really connected with them, because how can we? Just doesn't matter. Their lives don't mean much to us. They're strangers. And yet, what's so beautiful is this category begins to open that door to caring about people without any stories, without any involvement with I. me mine. We might not have a relationship with this person at all. We might just see them every day. Maybe they have a dog and they live on our street and we see them walking the dog every day. Yeah, that person walking the dog, we don't know their name or anything about them. And they have nothing to do with us. But the metta opens the door to caring about that without any self-referential storylines. And it begins to show us how we don't need that to care. Caring doesn't have to have anything to do with me, I, my life. It can be extended to anyone just because they are alive. And then there comes this feeling of friendliness towards them. And it can be actually quite funny. And how we radiate metta to somebody we don't know really at all. We may see them not infrequently. Sometimes people still tell very funny stories, and I've had this experience myself of radiating love and kindness for somebody in a shop that we see daily. And then having done this and going into the shop and seeing them again after doing the metta practice with them as an object. And we have to kind of hold ourselves back from treating them as though they're our best friend, because they might be a little shocked at our, you know, sudden warmth. It's like, oh yeah, I really don't know this person. It might not be so appropriate to be too friendly. It's very funny when that happens. And that's what metta does. It makes us friendly towards all living beings. So starting with one person, this is the dress rehearsal for all beings. We start with one person. It's easier to do that. So choosing somebody for the practice today who you have a sense of, this person. Maybe they're familiar to your sight, but you don't know who they are, really. Somebody you see when you're commuting to work or on your street or in a shop you go to. It doesn't even have to be a whole person. When I lived in New Zealand, I used to radiate metta to the person who drove the milk truck on my street and dropped off bottles of milk into people's post boxes. And all I saw was the truck coming down the street and the arm going out and putting the milk in people's boxes. I don't even know what gender this person was. And they were such a wonderful metta object. So finding somebody, being able to see the whole person helps, but it's not even absolutely necessary. But somebody who immediately comes to mind is like, oh yeah, that person. And just as with the practice yesterday and the day before and the previous days, I'll begin our metta practice by inviting you to connect where it's easy. And then I'll give you about 5 minutes before I move us on. So please make yourself comfortable. Please be at ease in this body. Here and now. Finding a way to sit or lie comfortably. And receiving our sensations, all of us, each of us, receiving the sensations that are predominant in our experience right now. With a kind, gentle, receptive awareness, and beginning to radiate loving kindness as you have done. To whomever it's easiest for you, whether it be yourself, a benefactor, a dear friend. That being for whom the metta flows most easily and smoothly. And just inclining moment to moment to the kind wish for that person, using the phrase that you've been using before. Simple expression of a kind wish in your own language. And in your own time. And now closing with this person and bringing to heart and mind this neither loved nor hated person. with either an image or a felt sense of their presence. Breathing into this sense of connection with them, noticing them as a fellow living being, a fellow human being. Without stories, but still, they, like we, want to be happy. And using the same phrase you've just been using, begin to incline to the well-wishing for them. Begin to develop this kind wish. Moment to moment to moment for this stranger. For this person who has been invisible to the heart. Just as I want to be happy, so may you be happy. Connecting with the phrase, as we repeat it silently to ourselves. And again and again and again in the silence, planting these seeds of kindness, developing this habit of caring no matter what. Without any agenda, except just to care. Each phrase, a seed we plant, moment to moment to moment. So continuing this inclination in the sitting, in the walking, your formal practice, staying with this single neutral person. In the general activities, of course, as before, allowing the metta to take its own flow, its own shape. And with this particular category, it's so wonderful to go out and radiate loving kindness to whomever you encounter, all the strangers that you may see, strange human beings, strange non-human beings, all these unknowns. And so the metta can just spontaneously go to the person driving by, or the cat walking across the street, or the, if you're walking at night, the people behind the closed curtains, you know, there are people in there. Any living being can be the object of this kind wish. One of my first teachers, Manindra, used to say often, short moments, many times. That was the essence of the practice. And so it is with either Vipassana Bhavana or Metta Bhavana. So short moments, many times. 1 second of Metta, 60 times is a minute. 60 of them is an hour. You can find an hour of practice just in your general activities. 1 second at a time. You're making a game of it, not a job. So don't leave your house for your morning walk thinking, okay, now I'm going to do it. Oh, that's too much effort. Just go out the door and see who you see and play with the practice. May you all have a beautiful, interesting opening day of practice today. I'll turn it over now to Aria to take any questions you may have and to guide us in the chanting.
Thank you. Yes, oh, now please come up with your questions.
Aria?
Yes?
It's Mary here. No, I'm under Shane's name. We're both in the same house together doing a retreat. My question concerns a situation which is very apt to Aya Biranyani's talk tonight, in that I was in a state of dosa while she was speaking. It was one of those crazy moments, just as we had entered this session, someone opened the door to our room and the dog walked in, immediately spilt my water all over the floor, the zabuton, and I had a tiny bit of food in my bowl that I was going to continue to eat later. But in the chaos of it all, I got up, rushed to the kitchen, put the bowl down on the sink, got a sponge, got a towel, started cleaning up, got all that done, went back to get the bowl, and the friends had said, oh no, we threw that out, we've cleaned the dish. It's like, oh, okay, all right. Then came back, and the dog was still in the room. I said to Shane, well, is the dog staying in the room or is the dog going out? And she said, I don't know, ask the dog. And that was about the end moment for me. It was Unfortunately, the dog was right there with what I was generating, which was dosa, and left the room immediately. But then, you know, the talk was very appropriate because I was sitting there just not seeing the funny side of it, just taking it too seriously and feeling a lot of dosa. So when we started the meditation, I did metta for myself because I figured I was in a state that was not useful for anybody else to receive metta. And it only took one phrase, and I could just feel my whole heart melting, as if for the dog, Jane, for the situation, and for me, because I'd taken that moment to extend friendliness and loving kindness to myself, and it just melted me. And it was such a beautiful realization of the power of metta. So thank you.
Thank you, Mary, for sharing this very apt example, fitting Ayaviranyani's reflections on metta. Somebody else?
I have a little question. I asked it last year also, but I'm pondering on that. The instructions are that you the objects and you wish them whatever metta. And I noticed when I it's a kind of habit that I want to wish metta, may you be well, happy and peaceful, or other wish, instead of may he or she be well, happy and peaceful. And I noticed that when I use the last phrase, may he or she, it's easier because it's more neutral, and it's the metta will involves better for me. So is there a reason for it? Is that the reason that when you send the metta phrase to you, that it gets too personal, or is there a reason behind that?
Yes, thank you, Jerome, for this question. Actually, this is something I was going to address, you know, during this retreat. It's really important. And, you know, basically, the instructions or what is in the scriptures is like, may all living beings be happy and well, may all females be happy and well, may all humans be happy and well. And, you know, in the commentary, the Visuddhimagga, may my teacher be happy and well, may my friend be happy and well, may my enemy, or, you know, you can put a name, may Sayadaw Indaka be happy and well, may Mary be happy and well, may Roger be, and so on. And, you know, I have not come across any place in the scriptures or the commentaries where it says, use the phrase, may you be happy and well. And, you know, you, that can be one single person, or it may also refer to a group. You know, may you, like all of you yogis, or may all my relatives or group friends, and so on. And I have also pondered on this question before. And based on my experience, I have come to notice that, you know, when I use the word you, that kind of facilitates the understanding, the wrong understanding that my metta needs to go to you. You know, may you be happy and well. So if you get happy and well, then my practice is successful. But if you don't get happy and well, you know, then I'm doing something wrong. But, you know, as you know, as we have explained again and again, the cultivation of metta is to change something within my heart and mind. And other persons, living beings, are simply the objects for our cultivation of kindness in ourselves. So the word you, you know, tends to go out, you know. But if you just say, may my friend, may my mother, may my teacher, may my dogs, you know, then with this you stay with yourself, within yourself. But what I also have noticed is that, you know, by using may my mother, may my teacher, may Janet, may so and so, then with this there is a clear sense of who this person is. You know, my teacher or my mother or my friend or Anna or whoever. And this also helps the practice, you know, to see that with different people or beings there is a different relationship. And as you know, with the practice we want to pull down the barriers between different categories of people or living beings. And so to do the practice to specific beings at the beginning, you know, is important, but then as practice matures, gets deeper, as the metta becomes stronger, then these barriers start to melt. You know, we still talk about my mother and my friends and so on, but it's not that kind of compartment, but then the metta, you know, smoothens out between these different kinds of people or living beings. You know, as I just did the practice, I took one of the residential monks here at the meditation center, one monk that has not been here 3 years ago, when I was last here. So I just see him in the dining hall, and in the morning after breakfast, he usually sweeps around the meditation hall. So, you know, after I started with myself and then switched to this monk as the neither loved nor hated person, and as Ayaviranyani was mentioning, you know, Sayadaw Indaka's image of the big shady tree, so I just had this image of my little metta garden, you know, first metta for myself, and then this monk, this neither loved nor hated person, being there in my little metta garden in the shade of the metta and just cultivating the metta for him. So I hope with this your question has been answered. So now I would like to go on to the metta chants. And I want to begin with the one on page 3, the four boundless states, the Pali version, which is, you know, quite energizing, brings up energy. If you feel a bit sleepy or drowsy, it will wake you up. So we go a little bit faster than we did it last time when Ayaviranyani introduced it. We'll begin. Metta sahagatena cetasa ekam disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati saba tataya saba vantang lokang metta sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena apamanena averena apyapacena paritva viharati karuna sahagatena cetasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati saba tataya saba vantang lokang karuna sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena apamanena averena apyapacena paritva viharati mudita sahagatena cetasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati saba tataya saba vantang lokang mudita sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena averena apyapacena paritva viharati upekha sahagatena cetasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata dutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati saba tataya saba vantang lokang upekha sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena averena apyapacena paritva viharati. Then we go to page 6, in the middle, the chant in Sanskrit. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. And this is different. You know, it's not as energetic and energizing. It's more calming and soothing. So this can be used when the mind is too excited or too restless or too much energy in the mind or body. So this will calm down the mind and the body. We'll do it a number of times. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. 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 Sukhino bhavantu. And we stay on this page and go to the top, to the Frieda. Peace, the one in Swiss German. You can join in doing it as a canon or go along with me, whatever. We'll do it also a number of times. And again, Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir, Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir, Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir, Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir, Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir, Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. So with this, we end our general online session. There will be interviews today. Group F, with Aya Viranyani, I suppose in 5 minutes, and group C with myself, and we will start in 15 minutes from now. So may there be peace and happiness in our hearts, and may there be peace and happiness in the hearts of all living beings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.